One day, John calculated later that it must have been soon after his 12th birthday, he came home and found a book that he had never seen before lying on the floor in the bedroom. It was a thick book and looked very old. The binding had been eaten by mice. Some of its pages were loose and crumpled. He picked it up, looked at the title page. The book was called The Complete Works of William Shakespeare. Linda was lying on the bed, sipping that horrible stinking mescal out of a cup.
Pope wrote it, she said.
Her voice was thick and hoarse, like somebody else's voice.
It was lying in one of the chests of the Antelope Keeper. It's supposed to have been there for hundreds of years. I expect it's true, because I looked at it and it seemed to be full of nonsense. Uncivilized. Still, it'll be good enough for you to practice your reading on.
She took a last sip, set the cup down on the floor beside the bed, turned over on her side, hiccuped once or twice, and went to sleep. He opened the book at random. Nay, but to live in the rank sweat of an enseamed bed, stewed in corruption, honeying and making love over the nasty sty. The strange words rolled through his mind, rumbled like talking thunder, like the drums at the summer dances, if the drums could have spoken. Like the men singing the corn song, beautiful, beautiful, so that you cried. Like old Mitsima saying magic over his feathers and his carved sticks and his bits of bone and stone. Kiatla tsilu siloque 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 kiai silu silu tsithl. But better than Mitsima's magic, because it meant more, because it talked to him. Talked wonderfully and only half understandably a terrible, beautiful magic about Linda. About Linda lying there snoring with the empty cup on the floor beside the bed. About Linda and Popeye. Linda and Popeye. He hated Popeye more and more. A man can smile and smile and be a villain. Remorseless, treacherous, lecherous, kindless villain. What did the words exactly mean? He only half knew, but their magic was strong and went on rumbling in his head, and somehow it was as though he had never really hated Popeye before, never really hated him because he had never been able to say how much he hated him. But now he had these words like drums and singing and magic, these words and the strange, strange story out of which they were taken. He couldn't make head or tail of it, but it was wonderful, wonderful all the same. They gave him a reason for hating Popeye, and they made his hatred more real. They even made Popeye himself more real. One day, when he came in from playing, the door of the inner room was open, and he saw them lying together on the bed, asleep, white Linda and Popeye almost black beside her, with one arm under her shoulders and the other dark hand on her breast, and one of the plaits of his long hair lying across her throat like a black snake trying to strangle her. Popeye's gourd and a cup were standing on the floor near the bed. Linda was snoring. His heart seemed to have disappeared and left a hole. He was empty. Empty and cold and rather sick and giddy. He leaned against the wall to steady himself. Remorseless, treacherous, lecherous. Like drums, like the men singing for the corn, like magic, the words repeated and repeated themselves in his head. From being cold, he was suddenly hot. His cheeks burnt with the rush of blood. The room swam and darkened before his eyes. He ground his teeth. I'll kill him, I'll kill him, I'll kill him, he kept saying. And suddenly, there were more words. When he is drunk asleep, or in his rage, or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed.